الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله مولانا العظيم الحمد لله الله سبحانه has blessed us with 30 days of fasting and gave us an opportunity to cleanse ourselves inshallah. And it is due to the blessedness of the month of Ramadan, we were able to gain closeness, we were able to do things that reduce our ill effects between ourselves and that which is around us, to reduce poor qualities, so that way we can gain a higher level of attachment between ourselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a major ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, we also had a tragedy that took place. And one will wonder, and sometimes we ask the question, how come we had crisis in Medina? Meaning, how did someone create such a violent act in wanting to kill individuals in what we will consider one of the holiest cities in the world, holiest cities for Muslims as well? In fact, we know, as far as our revelation is concerned, there is surah upon surah that is revealed not just in Makkah, but Medina as well. We see individuals of Medina welcoming Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he is leaving Makkah to Mukarramah. They're welcoming him so much, so much, so much that there are young ones that actually are going behind and saying, welcome, welcome to our city. People are willing to give their homes to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How can a city that is viewed as so noble, so peaceful, a city in which revelation has come down, turn into a place where individuals will actually want to take the life of another? And if you examine Muslim life, unfortunately, or life in general, as we have discussed before, we are moving, and we have moved rather, from a state of responsibility to a state of irresponsibility. In fact, if you look at how children and parents behave, it's as if there is no real bonding between the both, almost in every family. The attitude is like, you know, it's my son or my daughter, they better just listen to me. But we don't examine what we have done to gain the respect. Our teaching to them of Quran is very minimal. It is done enough, let's get them done reading the Quran and that's it, our duty is done. If that's what you're going to focus on, just getting done, then I'm afraid, just like you want to get done with the Quran, they're going to get done with you. What they say, what goes around comes around. We don't invest the time and energy in them to take out the time of ensuring they can learn, for example, Quran, learn hadith, learn simple things like the fara'id of wudu, the fara'id of salah. And so our home life is being shattered and smashed. We can already see that. The pattern is out there. It's not an issue of your family or my family. It's pretty much throughout. Home life is smashed. Then you look at life in the masjid, it's no different. You know, there was a brother that told me, there was actually a masjid in which they had an event. And after the event was over, they actually rolled up the carpets. They rolled up the carpets and people started skating and stuff in the masjid. And the officials of the masjid, this is what they said, if we don't allow them to do this in the masjid, they'll do it outside and we don't know what's going to happen outside. So it's better they do it inside than outside. So now you see young ones screaming, yelling, shouting, skateboarding, folks coming with a bicycle, doing what they got to do in the masjid, doing wheelies and stuff. So the question is, we lost the house, the personal house of ours. The houses of Allah have turned into dens of mockery, dens of parting, dens of socializing, dens of screaming, talking any way we want, talking loud, in any way we wish. So, from the house of personalness, that means our personal homes, the house of Allah is gone. Musical tones are being used in masajids. You hear ringtones blaring during salah, out of salah, various types of adhans going off, which is no problem in having an alarm. But while the salah is going on and nobody puts it off, now you get one brother will be using Makkah adhan, the other one is using Medina adhan, the other one will be different, he was like a Jerusalem adhan. It's like we are competing, there's no problem, but the time and place and the thing to compete for is very, very different. If you love adhan so much, as I've said before, then why don't you bring your children to the masjid and tell to the local imam, teach my child how to give good adhan so my child can give the adhan every Friday. No, that we won't do. That we won't do. You bring your child in. When you want to make your child give adhan because the grandfather came from overseas, and to impress the grandfather from overseas, make my child give adhan, the poor guy doesn't know what he's saying. For instead of saying Allahu Akbar, say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Where's Akbar? Where's the shad on the calf? It doesn't make sense. Then they say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. How many ra are there? You're changing the meaning. Bir means something else. Allahu Akbar means something else. Allahu Akbar, and you can't say anything to the child. If you say something, oh, his grandfather came from overseas and the imam offended the child. So now we can't even correct. Sometimes, you know, I have to re-give the adhan in the office. I don't give it very loud because that person has said certain things in adhan that it changed the meaning. I don't even know if that person is now a Muslim anymore. That's the reality. I have to actually sometimes give the adhan not very loud in the office again because of the words that have been used. So the personal life is gone, public life is gone, and no one can do anything about it. Ringtones are in fashion. And by the way, my brothers, I'm not here yelling and screaming. I'm just saying what is happening out there. So if this is going to be the situation, obviously we are going to produce children that are someday going to go to Madinatul Munawwara and do things that are wrong in nature. In fact, even amongst the adults now, there is a huge discussion taking place. Must you go to Medina or not? So there is a group going for Hajj. And one brother will say, brother, you're taking us for Hajj. Do you go to Medina as well? No, no, brother, don't ask to go to Medina. It's bid'ah to go to Medina. Wow, really? It's bid'ah to go to Medina now. Because it doesn't say as part of Hajj you must go to Medina. You are right. It doesn't say part of Hajj you must go to Medina. So now if someone goes to Medina, why you want to go to Medina? No, don't go during Hajj because everybody else is going. So if you go, you are following a bid'ah, so go some other time. This poor fellow is 55 years old. He couldn't go to Makkah, Medina all his life. He's going for the first time when he's 55 years old. Let him at least go to Medina. No, he must go some other time. If he's going for Hajj after 55 years, you think he's going to find time to go to Medina some other time in his life? Inshallah, Allah takes him. So these are the realities we have to work with. So my brothers and sisters, we have reduced the love of Allah in totality. We have reduced the love of our parents and home life totally. We have reduced the home or the sanctity of our masajid almost in totality. And now we are not leaving the Kaabatullah and we are not leaving Madinatul Munawwara. Regarding this, our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said some very beautiful things, and let's go over these hadith in the next few minutes inshallah. Amongst them he said the following: as far as Medina is concerned, it is a sanctuary, and he mentioned from one place to another. Thereafter he said its trees should not even be cut. That means just to cut its trees for the sake of cutting them should not be done. Unless you are cutting them, we hear from another hadith, for the purpose of the leaves falling down, so animal can utilize it and take benefit from it. Even the trees of Medina must function as a benefit, either to human when they sit or when they're moving, or if there is no need for it, or there is reduced purpose of it, then when you do happen to cut it, give it as sadaqah for an animal to enjoy, so the animal can imagine the wisdom of Rasulullah. Because we know full well, when the animal consumes it, it's going to go through its body, it's going to get digested, it's going to release from its body, and it's going to go into the soil and create benefit for the soil. Later on, plants will germinate from that, inshallah, benefit for humanity, benefits for his people. So the hadith of Rasulullah said, it should not be cut out. Except, of course, I mentioned another hadith under those parameters that I mentioned. And no hearsay should be invocated. That means all type of useless talk, all type of bid'ah, all type of innovations must not even take place in this place. So much so that there were sahaba that when they would sit down, if someone put a cloth for them to sit on, they'll say, no, 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 in this place I cannot do this. But there's nothing wrong with sitting on a cloth. You and I do it. And the person would say, because there is a great chance that in this blessed place of Madinah al-Munawwara, in the house of Rasulullah, in the great masjid, if he did not sit on a cloth like this, how can I sit on it? Imam Malik and many others, they will not even go to the restroom in Madinah al-Munawwara. They will not even go to the restroom. They will go on the outskirts to relieve and take part in what needed to be done. Because they would say, how can I relieve myself in the place in which my beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam had walked? Many people tell me, you know, every now and then, every second week, third week, some guy will come and say, you know, I dreamt of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And you know, there was a boy, and I mentioned this before, in school he said, he told the principal, the Prophet of Allah, this guy was very mischievous. Every type of wrong you could think of a guy doing, he would do it. So one day he came to the principal and he said, you know, I saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in my dream, and he told me that you must change my room and put my room in a certain nice place. You know, the principal told him, when Rasulullah comes to tell me in the dream that, I listen, now you go from here. What's the point here? We use Rasulullah by making claims that he said this to me and he said that to me and I saw this and I saw that. But our clothing, it doesn't become like Rasulullah. Our facial, yes, we grow beards, and by the way, it's not a thing against those people that don't have beards, or they have a fancy beard, or they have an Elvis beard. It's nothing to do with that. But what type of beard are you wanting to keep? I mean, you impress everyone with the dream you had, mashallah, and everyone is impressed by your dream, subhanallah. And I'm not judging you and your dream, but if you are an independent individual, you have your own business, or you have a consultant type of company, then what excuse do you have that you cannot fulfill that added sunnah? It doesn't make sense. Yes, the one that is working for someone, like you are a teacher, and they're going to fire you for having a certain type of beard structure, I can understand, or certain type of clothing, or wearing your pants a certain way, then I understand. But what I'm saying is, let's not get caught up in the dream world. Because a dream is a dream. But if Allah is giving you this gift, then you have to improve on what you are all about. And in the month of Ramadan, so many people came and said, I saw this and I saw that. And you can't tell them much. But now that 5 to 7 people have made mention of it, we can talk about it in an open way. So coming back to this given hadith, the trees of Medina should be protected. As far as innovative things are concerned, they should be totally eliminated, especially in that given city. As far as sin is concerned, it must not even be thought of, let alone it be done. Another hadith of Rasulullah says regarding the sacredness and the virtues of Medina. By the way, there's a whole chapter in Bukhari regarding the virtue of Medina al-Munawwara. He has said the following, Rasulullah, I have made Medina a sanctuary between such a place and such a place.
And as far as the sanctuary is concerned, it must be such that individuals will create safety for every entity that comes into that place. And whoever, in the hadith it says, takes part in innovation in that given place, or gives shelter to the one that innovates. By the way, we're not talking of even the crime that the individual took part in, which is bombing and killing and things like that. It says here, one that innovates in Madinat al-Munawwara, and not only the one that innovates, the one that gives shelter to the one that innovates, the one that supports the one that innovates, the one that does not even turn a blind eye to the one that innovates. Hadith says, Allah will curse that individual. My brothers and sisters in Islam, that is why you notice people go for Umrah, people go for Hajj. Wonderful, wonderful. May Allah bless each one. But they come back and their life gradually goes back to what it used to be. Yes, they sound holy, they sound pious, they sound more religious. Everyone can sound that way. However, you wonder why their life is not changed. So the simple question is, when you went there, how did you treat your wife? Or when you call your wife up on the phone, how did you discuss and dialogue with her? How did you interact with your children when you were there? Or how did you interact with them from there to here? You know, parents always tell me, Sheikh, you must talk about parental rights. Yeah, but what about children's rights? You know, you owe it to your child that you will raise them a certain way. You will give them certain morality. You will send them to a certain type of school. You will get them a certain type of Islamic knowledge. You will bring them in a certain type of Islamic environment. That is their right. You have nothing that can take away that right. So the hadith of Rasulullah is saying beautifully that you are there and you are doing wrongful things. You are having wrongful thoughts. And you are taking part in innovations. The hadith says, undoubtedly, if you take part in these innovations, then Allah will curse such a people, the angels will curse such people, and number three, the hadith says, and all the people will curse such people. What does it mean, all the people will curse? It means all the ulama that are making dua for good and against bad, because now you and I are going in the category of bad, we are now going to get their wrath as well. So now you go to the imam and you say, Shaykh, make dua for me. But there are thousands of other imams that are cursing you. How come they are cursing you? Because of this given hadith that you are involved in a place that you are doing wrong. And Allah is cursing you, angels are cursing you, and also the pious are also cursing you and I. So therefore, the hadith is saying, thereafter he continues, that anyone that seeks refuge in that place must be given refuge. Individuals must not betray and take away the trust of one another. Individuals must work with one another with mutual consent and permission of each another. That means when you go there, somebody took your sandals away and you start wearing someone else's sandals, because your sandal is gone and someone is just lying there. It happens in traffic, it happens in the crowd. The hadith says, because you are now going to possibly cause inconvenience to someone else in Madinat al-Munawwara, you are now going to create tremendous amount of pain. That's why shoving, pushing, all those type of things in that given place, we have to be very, very cautious of. So my brothers, why did we talk about this today? In conclusion, in the essence of time, what took place in Medina is a very, very bad act, number one. Number two, we have to also ask ourselves, what is the cause and the root cause of such behavior? And the root cause of this behavior, basically, in the end of the day, is you and I. We are negligent ourselves. We are negligent with our families. We are creating monsters in our community. And we have to now teach them the value of home life. How to behave, what to see, what to hear, what to do online, what not to do online. Teach them the value of your local masjid. You don't have to like your local imam, you don't have to like me at all. But at least for the sake of Allah, like the masjid. At least, okay, you don't want to come when the imam is here, wonderful, no problem. At least bring them 9 o'clock in the morning. Or leave a note, the imam, why don't you go to sleep 9 to 11 a.m.? We want to bring our children. Wallahi, I'll leave, I've got no problem. I'll give the masjid to you, as long as you don't do other things. Over here that are sort of more distasteful. But give your children the ability to love the masjid. Because if you're not going to give them this opportunity, it's going to go on. And eventually when they go for Hajj, or when they go for Umrah, when they go to Makkah, when they go to Medina, every type of wrongful thing they'll be doing over there. Stealing, lying, cheating, hurting one another, swearing one another, using obscene language on one another, calling names to one another. They'll be creating their disaster upon disaster. From the side of Allah, from the side of the angels, and also from the side of the pious. So my brothers, let us make dua for the people of Medina. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, if I was to continue all the hadith that I have here, 5-6 pages, he even made dua for the people of Medina. He made dua for the success of Medina. Therefore, we have to make dua for the people of Medina as well. When we are given the opportunity to make dua for them, in reality, our iman is getting increased. When you make dua for them, it's not that their iman is getting increased. It's not that their position is getting higher and better. It's your position and my position, Allah will be increasing, inshallah. Increasing in the sense of iman and taking us closer to Him, inshallah. So let us make niyyah of this, inshallah, throughout this week and throughout our life, where we will say the following: Oh Allah, bless that holy mosque, bless all the masjids around it, bless all the people that go to it, bless all the people that intend to go to it, give them continual success, give them continual barakah, give the stores over there honesty and barakah and success, and give the people of that place every type of success, so that way, inshallah, things like this do not continue. May Allah SWT help us and guide us at all times. Those of you that have not fasted for Shawwal, try to keep, inshallah, the 6 fast of Shawwal, and by doing this, inshallah, you'll get the reward for an entire year.